Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 71 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This is a super special episode we're pretty excited about, huh?
I'm very excited, yeah.
And why is that?
Because this week we interviewed Jordan Syatt.
Well, we should say we interviewed him several weeks ago.
Yeah, we did do this, back in February?
I think late February,
And we wanted to wait on it for a little while just because we had a few episodes close together with different guests and things, and we had things we wanted to say otherwise, and obviously, you know, the coronavirus has happened and what feels like year three of quarantine.
Week three.
So, you know, obviously, you know, we've had other episodes put in between, and we just wanted to space that a little bit, but we've been really excited about this one, and it's been hard to kind of keep quiet about it, really. But we've been following Jordan for years. For anyone who doesn't really know him, obviously he'll go into it more during the episode, but he is a fitness trainer.
Coach.
And he's got pretty famous in the last couple of years, and a lot of people may know him from his recent Big Mac challenge, where he ate a Big Mac every day for a month to prove you can do that and still lose weight.
But also, he's really active on Instagram. There's a really great community of people around him, and he gives a lot of stuff away for free, just like tips and plans and ideas.
But the reason we wanted to talk to him, obviously from a relationship point of view, he was in a long distance relationship that recently closed. So
I think about a year ago they closed it. Yeah.
So we wanted to obviously talk about that for our listeners, but also his approach to fitness and well-being in general is one that we really think is healthy, and we're on board with it. And we wanted to try and share that with you guys, because he's not someone that is all about the numbers on the scale or the numbers on your weights or whatever it might be. It's kind of trying to build a healthy connection between you and food or exercise or body image or whatever.
And that's sustainable, which is
sustainable
thing,
and yeah. You know, the focus is on happiness. So if it may take you a little bit longer to reach your ultimate goal, but along the way you're feeling better, then that's a win. So we really thought his message was one that we wanted to share and would be relevant to a lot of our listeners. So bear that in mind when you listen to it and think that's why we wanted him on the show. And the conversation is not very long, but we do touch on the relationship side of things and his ethos about things.
I think the main thing that we talk about, which is something that I've seen, he does a lot of Q&A's on like Instagram stories, and a lot of people ask the question, you know, how do I really want to get my partner to try and be more healthy and take care of themselves and maybe lose some weight or just get active or watch what they eat or whatever that is. And they say, you know, how would you suggest I help? And, you know, it's something that we work on together. You know, we both have been trying to get more healthy and more fit for years. And, you know, I've had periods of time where I was really successful and lost a lot of weight and then gained weight. And you've had periods of time where you're really, you know, committed to your gym routines, and then you kind of lose it, and then we eat junk. And I think for us, it's something that we're working through together. So we don't feel like, oh, well, so-and-so is so much further ahead than me or whatever. But we know that with some couples, you might have someone who's really, really fit and someone who really, really isn't. And, you know, kind of at complete opposite ends of the spectrum. And, you know, that can be an issue in relationships, and people can take it really personally. And I think the advice that Jordan gives is a really good way to just encourage people rather than make them feel judged or pushed.
Well, it ties in well too with episode 47 with David, where he was, the conversation we had with him was about how to basically to never criticize each other, and how when he says that, he gets a lot of people talk to him to say, well, how do I get them to change or to stop doing this or to start doing that? And, you know, so Jordan's, the conversation we had with Jordan kind of took that principle and specifically looked at how that can work around not just fitness but health. Like you said, you know, it can be eating healthier rather than getting into better shape. You know, you can look trim but not be very healthy or eat very well. So I'd say that's probably enough rambling of an intro, and enjoy. We'll have in the notes for this episode Jordan's links, his Instagram, he's in a circle if you want to join. and anything else we talk about.
And also, this is the first episode that is also available as a video episode on our YouTube channel as well.
Yes, we did film this.
Yeah, so yeah, we actually filmed this as a video.
We apologise in advance for the video quality of us. Jordan looks great, we look awful.
Grainy.
But we've subsequently upgraded. But yes, so if you want to actually watch the conversation, then just head to our YouTube channel again. That will be in the show notes for this.
Yeah. So we hope you enjoy this, guys.
So for people, I'm hoping a lot of the people watching and listening to this know who you are. But for those who don't, I mean, I've been following you. It's got to be a few years. And I found you through following Gary Vaynerchuk.
Got it. Okay.
And then I just, your posts cracked me up to the point. And then she's a huge Harry Potter fan, and she got me into coffee, kind of. So you're like the one person I'd be reading your stuff. I'd be pissing myself on the couch. I say, look at this. You have to follow this. And she's not a big Gary fan, so that I had to kind of. He's doing Gary. She's gonna get mobbed. But you know, it's just like, yeah, he's Gary's trainer, but it's not about Gary. Follow this guy, and then you did, and and she's in the inner circle now. You know, we're
oh, big, that's amazing. You didn't say that before we started recording. I love it.
I put it in the email, but I don't know if you saw it. So,
I mean, the way. So yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, so we'll let you talk about yourself in a sec. But I mean, I think from my point of view. In the fitness world, there's so much confusion and misinformation around specifically weight loss and teas and vinegar and pills and potions and everything. And I think you're probably the, in a way, I think you're kind of the only resource people need. There's the no bullshit. It's calorie deficit. This is how you do it. You've got all the free information people need to how to calculate this and how to track that and what to do. And also, I kind of feel like if people have access to you and they're prepared to follow it, that's all they really need. So that's going to be my main plug for anyone listening and watching is if that's you, just follow Jordan. And if you implement it, you'll get there.
And also the honesty around like, this is going to be really fucking hard. It's going to take a lot longer than you think. It's managing that expectation where the people that plug the T's and the this and the that, oh, it's going to be so easy. It's going to happen in a week. Which, let's be honest, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, the thing is, and I know this is, you know, we live in a content-driven world, but you can get there with your free stuff. You know, so you joining the inner circle was partly through the loyalty you've cultivated through what you do, rather than, oh, I have to pay Jordan to get his stuff. It's all there for free, you know. So,
and the support was a huge part in the Facebook group and stuff.
Yeah, so... We just want to, you haven't paid us to say that. There's no promotion. So we just want to genuinely, we're big fans of what you do. And I think if people can really get the help they need. So anyone who's listening and watching feels like that's what they need.
Yeah.
Jordan's the guy. So this
isn't just fitness though. Jordan, I think one of the reasons we thought initially that it was probably worth reaching out to you. You have, well, I guess recently in the past year or so, closed the distance of a long distance relationship. So could you just give us...
Before we get to that, let's let Jordan introduce himself and what he's done. Because we've kind of spoken around it.
You just talked for ages.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's my podcast, so...
It's not.
Yeah, well, thank you both so much. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I think, you know, I'm basically a fitness coach. I've been coaching people since I was 14 years old is when I got my first job as a coach, as an internship, and I fell in love with it. I love coaching people. I think a lot of coaches struggle because a lot of coaches become coaches because they like working out, and I loved working out growing up, but when I started coaching people, that's really what I loved is the aspect of coaching. And I think that's this industry has a huge burnout rate. There's a massive burnout rate among coaches. People stop coaching within the first year, like above 90% of coaches. And I think it's because when you start working out and you enjoy it, people wanna think, oh, well, if I could stay in the gym all day, that'd be great. But it's one thing to love working out. It's another thing to love coaching. And I just love interacting with people and coaching people and helping people. So that's what I do. I try and put out the most honest content I can. I've been through many phases in my career. I started writing content in 2011. And back then if you look back at the content, it looks very different than what I do now. Even though the information is very similar, I would present it in a way that I was trying to impress my colleagues as opposed to trying to help the people who need it. A lot of my content was, I was trying to use big fancy scientific words, and it was done out of an insecurity on my part rather than trying to take the knowledge I had and trying to break it down as simply as I could. So that's really what I do now, is I try and break everything down as simply, as plainly as possible to make this whole process as easy as it can be, which it never is easy, but try and make it easier.
Perfect way to explain it.
You know better than we do, yeah. So, okay, so going back to when I interrupted Andrea, so like I said, we've been following you for long before, but then, yeah, within the last year, we were in the airport. We were just going back from the States. We were in LAX, and I saw you put up a post about you move in, or she moved out to wherever you live. I can't remember
Yes, she lived separately. I have been in New York since I started coaching Gary about 3.5 years ago, and she was in Atlanta. So now she moved to New York. What is it, in May? So it's been about almost a year now. It's been almost a year since she moved in.
Yeah, we're there. For, yeah, sorry.
So and then I thought, oh, Jordan's. We can get Jordan on to talk about relationship. But before that, so I want to ask, how did you get to coach Gary? How did that all come about? Because I'm sure people listening to this will know who he is too.
Yes.
So I started putting out fitness content online in 2011, and I was in college. And I didn't have any idea that a business was possible. I was a college student. I was in my dorm room. I didn't really like school very much. The teachers were very misinformed. The kids were spending their parents' money on alcohol and drugs. And I was a very bitter, angry person at the time. I was not happy being in college. I just spent the year traveling in the Middle East. I was in Israel for a year. And coming to college was just not the happiest place for me. But I always loved fitness. So what I started to do was I was just putting out my workouts and fitness and nutrition information on a website that I had. And in 2012, one of the articles that I had written, it was literally to date one of my least popular, least read articles. Very few people have seen it. Very few people like it. It was an article about how to improve your posture if you sit at a desk all day. And it just so happened that one random person who I didn't know at the time, he was living in Chicago as an accountant, saw that article. They commented on the article. They asked me a question. I answered their question. And through a crazy chain of events, that accountant in Chicago became Gary's coach several years later. And his name is Mike Vacanti. And
Mike's an accountant?
He was. He used to be. Right. Okay. Yeah, that was his job before he was a personal trainer. And so then Mike followed my content ever since then. And we never really interacted. He commented, I answered his question, and I didn't know his name, never mind. I could never point him out in a crowd. But just this random person who commented, I replied. And he, through a crazy chain of events, he got an internship in New York, moved to New York. Through that internship, met Gary, became Gary's coach. And then when his contract with Gary was up, Gary was like, who's going to coach me next? And Mike was like, I think I know a guy. And I was living in Israel at the time. And so we spoke, and I ended up getting the job coaching Gary. And I love that story because it goes back to Gary's thesis, which is – or one of his theses, which is you never know what piece of content is going to change your life forever. And it just so happened that one piece of content that I made, not only did it not go viral, still very few people know about this article. It's one of my least viewed, least read articles. And that piece of content is what sparked Mike to follow me and what created that relationship. And that's how I ended up getting the job with Gary.
Is that Mike's Macros that you
yes,
talk about?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay,
yes.
Cool. Yeah, so food track, calorie track.
Completely independently of you or Gary, I found Mike. He has an article on how to track raw meat.
Yes.
Because I used to track cooked meat thinking it's dry.
Yeah.
And so I have that article bookmarked now his is the calculation that I use for if it's like well done meat, you know, like chicken, or if it's rare beef or whatever. So completely independently of anything else. It's
a small world.
It's just a small world, but we don't know any of these people. Well,
no,
we're talking to you now. Yeah. So
it's amazing. It's really amazing how the internet can connect all of us. The fact that we just are doing this as though it's a normal part of our afternoon is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Right. And then like the long distance community is insane on Instagram and everywhere. I think we did the long distance thing a long time ago when it was a lot less connected and a bit trickier to do it. And we thought, God, wouldn't it be amazing if people had that support now?
But, well, yeah, we started this podcast we how long ago was it?
A little over a year and a half, maybe. Not quite.
We started it September 2 years ago, but the idea that year we were sort of back, we had our honeymoon and we stayed at an Airbnb, and we just so happened to be sharing the house with another couple. So we're US to UK, they were US to UK, but the gender was reversed. And we were just talking, like, it's crazy how many people now are long distance some way or another, you know. Even we have people following us, they're long distance in the same country, but there's distance. And we just thought, you know what, yeah, there's so much of it, because the world's just smaller now. You know, the technology's there, the flights are there, the price point's there. So that kind of sparked that for us. But
nice segue into the long distance aspect.
Exactly. So going back to, so I'm sitting at the airport eating lunch and I was like, Jordan's done this, I'm going to message him. And you replied, and it took a little while to set this up, but we've been looking forward to this for a long time. So yeah, can you give us a quick rundown of it, of your relationship and the distance?
Yeah, well, I mean, so of the relationship, we met in middle school. So we met in sixth grade. She moved from another town to my town. And I remember first seeing her. I remember actually, it was super funny. I was in like music class and one of my buddies comes in. He's like, there's two new girls and they're super hot. And it was my girlfriend and her stepsister. They moved to the town and he was right. They were both super hot. And I remember I was like really attracted to my now girlfriend. And I asked her out. We had like a school field trip to a roller skating place. And I was like, do you want to be my girlfriend and go? And she was like, yeah, sure. And so we went. And I remember there was a guy there selling these light up roses, like fake roses that lit up. And in my head, I was like, oh yeah, girls love roses. So it was $5. And I bought it for her and I gave it to her. And she's a very shy, like soft-spoken woman, and it's the same thing as a kid, probably even more so as a kid. And she didn't seem overly excited about it, and I was like, oh, shit, I think I screwed up. And then the next day she broke up with me. And and I remember I was like, ah, man, I'm never going to be nice to girls again. And basically from then, we didn't speak much for years. She, after middle school, she ended up going to boarding school. So after middle school, I didn't really see her very much. She went to a different school. So I literally like didn't talk to her for the better part of over a decade until several years ago, before my Instagram grew or anything, but I was still posting fitness content. She DM'd me. She was like, hey, I love your fitness content. And I remember being like, oh, like she's still super hot. And,
Wait, did she keep the rose? Did she keep it?
So actually here's the crazy thing. So she, at that point when she DM'd me, she had the rose. I didn't know it at the time. She had it. She forgot that I gave it to her. She didn't know, but she had it. And then when we started dating, she actually moved houses. And as part of the moving process, she got rid of it. But at that point in time, she'd kept it. She'd had it in like a drawer for all those years, which is pretty crazy.
That's crazy, yeah.
Oh, but if she still had it, it would just be the best story.
I know. So she DM'd me and I was like, man, she's really hot. And I had a business trip to Atlanta and I was like, hey, I'm going to be there if you want to meet up. And so we went and got a couple drinks. And it's so funny because even like after we got drinks, I was very much just like, I mean, she's in Atlanta, I'm in New York, there's no way this is ever going to work. So I was like, I sort of just shrugged it off. Then she ended up coming to New York a couple weeks later because she had one of her high school friends had actually passed away. So then we saw each other there. And then she came back up to New York after that. And we kept seeing each other like once every 3 to 6 months. And it slowly developed into a long distance relationship, I think the crazy part is, based on my schedule with Gary, in which I was training him literally 7 days a week for 3 years straight, traveling all over the world. If he was in Hong Kong, I was in Hong Kong. If he was in Germany, I was in Germany. If he was in LA, I was in LA. I don't think that an in-person, like a a close distance relationship would have worked, because I think they probably would have been expecting to see much more of me, whereas long distance you expect to see very little of you anyway. So the fact that it was a long distance relationship, very slowly building, and I was traveling a lot, I think it actually worked out in our favor. And so we did that for the better part of 2 years, where we would maybe work up to the point of seeing each other once every 4 to 6 weeks. And it was for 2.5 to 3 days at a time. And I mean, for much of it, I had a lot of work to do. So we'd see each other for basically a weekend or so every month and a half. Until basically we decided it was time that, like, all right, so what are we going to do? Are we going to really try and do this or not? And so we're like, all right, let's move in. And so then she moved in last May, and it's great.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, like, because we've kind of made similar points that sometimes the distance can allow a relationship to kind of grow more organically without so much pressure. Because I think, obviously, close distance relationships need no promotion from me. They're pretty popular, but I think a lot of them can, I think they can maybe start with sex or start with certain expectations of, like you said, there is an expectation of, we got to spend this much time together, you're only down the road or whatever.
Yep.
So I think we have a blog on a blog post on the benefits of long distance relationship. There's not many, but I think people who are in them kind of, they only hear the negatives, you know, and they hear the people around them say, did you get that, by the way, people around you saying it's never going to work out with the distance? Or
actually, I was the one who kept saying it was never going to work out. Like, I didn't think it was going to work. I was like, there's no way, long distance doesn't work. And especially the more into the relationship we got, when we were together, it was amazing. But as soon as we separated, we'd start fighting, like, immediately.
Yeah.
We hear that from quite a few of our followers.
We had that.
Yeah.
It's suddenly the tiniest things that wouldn't be a thing when you're in person, because you're upset and you miss each other and you're frustrated.
I don't remember it.
Well, you probably blocked it all out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we hear that quite a lot. Yeah.
And I think the fights are even more stressful when you're long distance, because you're not with them. And then in your head, out of insecurity, I know for me, I'd be like, well, what is she doing now?
They throw their phone down and don't reply. And you're like, what's going on?
It's like, where are you? I don't know. Where have you been? I haven't heard from you in a few hours. Like, who knows? So I think the ability for your own insecurity to really take over in those situations is far more enhanced than when you're in a closer distance relationship. But it's so funny that you're talking about the benefits of a long distance relationship, because now having the benefit of hindsight, I think that there's a tremendous amount of value that comes from not feeling required to see them every day. I think a lot of people feel smothered in a close distance relationship, especially from the beginning, where they feel required to hang out with them, or they feel bad if they can't hang out with them, and that creates this, like, almost you spend too much time together too soon. And it's, like you were saying, oftentimes very much built out of sex, which I have no problem with sex at all whatsoever. I think it's great. But
what's your favorite workout move? I can't remember how you say it.
Naked hip thrust.
Yeah,
naked partner hip thrust. Yeah.
Yeah, naked partner.
Explosive naked partner hip thrust.
Explosive, but, yeah, that's next level.
But I think when you start out almost with the expectation of needing to see each other a lot, and when you see each other, it's all sex and all physical, a lot of times it's difficult to actually develop a partnership. And I am by no means a relationship expert at all. Like, I want to be very clear on that. I'm just purely telling my experience. And also, I know I have many friends who are in relationships, and anytime they travel, it's a pretty big deal for their relationship. It's like there's a lot of mistrust. There's a lot of difficulty with communication. But anytime I travel or she travels, it's very easy now, because we already did that for so long. We already spent so much time apart. The idea of traveling now for only 2 or 3 days or even a week is like, it's cool. Like, not a big deal. I think building the foundation of our relationship on that, which was really essentially a really good friendship, is much stronger than if you build the foundation on physical.
Yeah, that's a good point about traveling. We have that as well. I mean, he started traveling for work. Sometimes I go home to see my family, you know, in California, and it's like, great, I'll miss you. Like, have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good point. And I think because what we found was our relationship was just built on communication. Just because it's all, when you're long distance, it's all you can do, you know.
Yeah.
So for us, I mean, we got to know each other so well. Like, even like when she's anxious, like she'll start fiddling with her thumbs, and I used to see that on webcam, and I was like, "What's bothering you?" You know, and
and he still does it.
And I still know. So like, you really pick up on the small things.
And I think on the communication, it'd be interesting if you guys have this as well. I think I'll talk to friends or whatever, and they'll be complaining about, you know, their husband or their boyfriend or whatever, and well, have you talked to him about it? No, I can't do that. It's like, why not? Like, just ask him.
Yeah,
or all these taboo subjects. I'm like, there's literally no secrets, no mystery. Like, we can talk about anything. And I think, like, do you guys kind of find that too? Like, that you can
just
everything.
It was very difficult at the beginning. I think, like, in any relationship, you're always testing, even in a work relationship, whatever, you're always testing the waters. You don't know how far you can go. And I think a lot of people say no secrets, over communicate, but they don't actually mean it, because then when someone says something, then they lose their shit or whatever it is. So for me, from the very beginning, and I very much took this from Gary, is this idea of over communication and say anything and everything. I will not snap, I'll not get upset. And when we first started dating, she had a lot of trouble with that. And I think a lot of it was based on her upbringing and not really being able to freely speak. So there was a lot of headbutting and a lot of really, for me, trying to dig, like, okay, what do you mean? Let's talk about it, whatever. We've gotten to a point, I'd say probably within the last year, where you can tell when they're not saying what is on their mind. We can really have a sit down conversation, but we've gotten to a point in which if something is either bothering us or needs to be said or spoken about, it's brought up basically immediately, and we can talk about literally anything. It's not always a comfortable conversation. It's not always like a fun thing to do. Just because the lines of communication are open doesn't mean that it's always a great discussion. But just knowing that the lines of communication are always open is invaluable. And I also think, I mean, we're not engaged yet or married or anything, but one thing I've really started to, especially probably in the last year, really, really internalized. I think a lot of people get into relationships, and this includes marriage, but get into relationships with the idea in their head, well, worst comes to worst, like, we can just end it. I can break up with them. I used to be that person. And I think one of the best things I've done is to eliminate that thought process, because if your first initial thought is, well, you know, like, I can always break up with them, then at any point in time, at any difficult spot, you'll always look for that as the fallback. But when you look at something like, no, this is a commitment that I'm very invested in, that this is looking for, like, the long-term thing, you don't look for the excuse to break it off. You don't look for the reason to end it. You're looking for the reason to fight for it. And it doesn't mean that no one should ever break up. It doesn't mean that you get into a relationship with someone and you're, all right, I have to marry you. And it doesn't mean that you can't end marriages. If someone is a bad individual or abusive, whatever it is, then of course, like, you always have to do what's best for you. But I think the best thing that I've been able to do, and we've been able to do together in this relationship, is truly understand that nothing is off limits in communication, and not look for a reason out, not look for, okay, well, okay, you know what, like, this just isn't working for me, we're going to break it off. We always, always, always have to communicate. And there have been many times where I've said what I've needed and she hasn't been able to follow through in the first 2, 3, 4, 10 times, and finally it happens. And there have been things that she said she needed that I haven't been able to follow through with in the first 10, 20 times. But it's patience and persistence and communication, and that's really it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, you made a good point, and about looking to fight for it, because the way I see it is, you become family, right? And
yeah,
with any other member of your family, you don't say, well, we've had a fight and fuck you, I'm never talking to you again, and I'm leaving the family.
It's over.
You say, you know, like, you witnessed, I've had some horrific fights with my family, like, nothing physical, but I've just been, you know, loud shouting arguments and stuff. But it's always like, you know, it's going to be okay because it's your family. You know, okay, there may be an apology. There's not always an apology, but you just know it's going to be okay. And to me, I always find that kind of freeing, that you can talk in a way to them that you probably wouldn't talk to a stranger on the street, because you'd get punched in the face. And I kind of see, once you're married to someone, then they're your family, and then you, all the caveats you mentioned, totally agree. If someone's abusive and toxic and all that, you can get out. But as a general approach, I think it's important to see it as that family way.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Conscious of time, so I wanted to get on kind of the next kind of topic. So one of the things that people ask you about a lot is, you know, I really want to help my boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, you know, become more active. I'm worried about their health, or they're just not motivated.
Well, maybe they don't feel as attracted to them.
Potentially. I mean, I haven't seen that question, but that might be one that you get. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Okay. So what kind of is the advice that you give to people that are wanting to motivate their partner?
So there's a lot. There's a lot to dissect here. I think the first thing to understand is when you have this isn't just for a partner. This is like, I think this is part of the benefit of being a coach and knowing this. When you're a coach and you work with clients, you don't have one conversation and expect them to change immediately, ever. This is a constant process. It takes a lot of time and a lot of patience. I think one of the major struggles that people have in relationships is that the person that they're closest with, they have the least amount of patience for.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like they have one conversation, they just expect it to change. So if someone isn't doing something, or they're not acting in a way that they think they should be, and maybe even they're not acting in a way that they should be acting, whether it's for their health or whatever it is, and they have one conversation and they just think it should change and it doesn't, and they get really upset. You have to know that if you get upset after one or two or five or 10 conversations, you're doing more harm than good. It is completely and utterly unrealistic for you to think that in one or two or five or 10 conversations, they're going to completely change their life. Like, it is completely and utterly unrealistic. Talk to any therapist, any coach that is, it's wrong. It's inappropriate, and you're going to do more harm than good by getting upset at them. So I think in the same way that you have to know that realistic expectations for fat loss, it's going to suck sometimes. Like, you're going to get hungry, you're going to get agitated, it's going to take longer than you want. Same thing for when you're trying to motivate a loved one. Like, it can take a long time. And here's the important thing to remember. They know they need to make a change. It's not like they're oblivious. They're well aware, and you getting upset at them about it is going to make them feel even worse. And the amount of research showing, like, there are shame treatments that they've tried and experimented with. The amount of research showing that shame does more harm than good is staggering. And I very much believe that if people were aware of that research, they'd probably have more patience and know that, all right, we need to figure out a different way to deal with it. So number one is understanding it's not going to happen in one or five or 10 conversations. This has to be a long-term thing. And with that knowledge, oftentimes the best thing you can do is, it doesn't mean ignore the situation, but just set a good example for the situation. Make sure that you're doing what is important to you. Make sure that you're prioritizing your health, that you're doing what you need to make it happen. And oftentimes just through, they call this social modeling, through watching you do it, watching you be a part, watching you focus on yourself, it can help. It doesn't mean it's going to solve it for everybody, but it can really help motivate someone to do things even if you're not watching. That's a really important thing. Sometimes they'll do things when you're not looking. Sometimes your spouse or partner, whatever it is, they might get embarrassed or concerned or self-conscious because you're so into it. And then they might think, well, I'm not up to par or whatever it is. And so they might do things when you're not watching. And I've seen that a fair amount, where people will be walking more, going up and down stairs, or looking up nutrition facts or whatever it is when their partner isn't looking, because they want to start doing it, but they don't want the other one to see it for a number of reasons. So be aware of that. And then from there, I mean, aside from just setting a good example and just being there to support them, I think going over the top to encourage them, even at the slightest, teeniest, eensy weensy, tiny sign of progression or effort is amazing. Because most people in our day-to-day lives, we are not getting very much positive reinforcement. Usually there's a lot of negative reinforcement, whether it's from outside sources like our boss, our coworkers, our family, or ourselves inside our head. We're our own worst critic. So if you can constantly try and reinforce them with positivity, good work, this is amazing, they're more likely to do it because they're getting positive reinforcement. And we're creatures of habit. Like, we see this in psychology research all the time. If you positively reinforce somebody, they're more likely to do it. If you negatively reinforce someone, they're less likely to do it. So if you have someone that you're just getting mad at and upset with, they're less likely to do anything at all. It's the shame will not work. So when they do, if you see that they happen to drink a glass of water, You can be like, oh, have you been focusing on drinking more water? That's amazing. Even literally, it doesn't even have to drink the whole glass, just having a sip of it. I love that. This is amazing. I'm glad that you're having more water. I love seeing that. They'll be more likely to drink more water. It's like if they happen to have like a fruit, whatever it is, I love that you're having more fruit. That's amazing. Rather than being like, wow, that's the first piece of fruit I've seen you have in a while.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's you have to switch it. And I think, you know, I see this. Most people tend to go more towards the pessimistic route in life, which it's easier to go pessimistic, negative, whatever. You have to switch the more optimistic route. I love that you're having more fruit. I love that you're drinking more water. It's like, you look amazing. Like it looks like, I don't know if you've been doing anything, but it really looks like you're doing well. Whatever it is, give them positive reinforcement and a reason to keep trying rather than negative reinforcement, which is only going to compound in their own head because we're all our own worst critics.
Totally.
This is like, it's really surreal sort of watching you in real time because we watch so much of your content, but this is exactly the approach you bring to your everyday kind of fitness videos and the approach. It's a really positive, motivating,
not beating yourself up kind of approach. I think so many people
and you set that expectation out that, you know, your weight is gonna spike. You shared one of my
his graph.
It was a couple of years ago. I sent you my Fitbit graph.
Yeah.
She freaked out. She was like, "Oh my god, you're famous!" She was telling the whole family about it. But you know, you set that expectation out, and so I'm really just saying this for the benefit of anyone who's listening and isn't familiar with you. That kind of, I think a lot of that's missing in fitness and health because so much of it is on 30 days to whatever it is you're looking for. It's on the shame that you mentioned. It's look good for your partner. And there's very little I think about actual self-esteem and self-worth and this being a process and a journey rather than a diet. And
well, so, striving for consistency rather than perfection because no one can do that.
You don't have to be good, perfect. You just have to be
good enough.
Good, consistent. Good enough? Yeah. So like I said, I'm really saying this for the benefit of people who this is their first exposure to you and just kind of let them know that you have a very wholesome sort of approach, I think, to it.
I appreciate that a lot.
Thank you for what you're doing. I think we have two mini, very important questions.
Yeah, of course.
What Harry Potter house do you belong to?
That's probably the most asked question I get.
Is it?
Yeah, people ask me all the time.
No one gives a shit about your fitness content.
It's so true. I have to say Gryffindor. It's just like, and
you're wearing the right color for it as well.
Yeah. I just have to say Gryffindor, and it's not even because I'm like a huge Harry fan specifically. It's more just like I love the values of Gryffindor.
I love it's actually kind of useless. It's mainly the people around him that get him through stuff. I'm just saying.
I think it's a really good point in terms of the support systems around him, the people that he surrounds himself with, which I think it says a lot about him, the fact that he is willing to do that. I think there are many characteristics of him that I do respect and admire, but the characteristics of those around him, I think, are more of what I strive to emulate. I think Sirius is one of my favorite characters. Also, Dobby is one of my favorite characters. I think Dobby, for a number of reasons, I mean, he's so sweet and kind. But one of the things about Dobby that I think goes very unnoticed is how powerful and strong he is. The things that he can do are like the little bit that we do see of him when he really shows how powerful and how strong his magic is pretty tremendous. But you very rarely see it. And I think there's a lot of people who they're kind and they're sweet, but they're not very strong or powerful. And I think to be strong and powerful but not use it is a much greater strength and sign of your kindness than it is to not be strong or powerful at all. I think it's much more admirable to have the strength and not use it than it is to have it – than to not have it at all.
I think someone else in the book that I really – Professor McGonagall is my absolute favorite. And I think she – obviously she's a bit more stern and, you know, she has to make sure the kids are doing everything they need to do. But that last scene – where she just like lets loose and she's bringing statues to life. And was like, Maggie Smith, I love her so much. And the other one is, are you still doing your coffee company, Unicorn Coffee?
No, so I stopped that about a year ago now, right? About a year ago. It's still active. The company is. Basically, what happened was it was doing well. I mean, thank goodness. It was wonderful. It was just I wasn't passionate about it. And it was taking too much time away from the inner circle and too much time away from my content, which is really what I'm more passionate about. So I had a conversation with my business partner. I was like, man, I can't do this anymore. And we're on amazing terms. And the option for me to come back is always open. It's tremendous coffee. I love the coffee.
Yeah, but we always really wanted to try it, but we hadn't seen anything about it in a while. And we thought, what's going on?
It basically came down to it wasn't my passion. And I think one of my main goals for all of 2019, from when I started working with Rico, was to really build my YouTube. And so the time that would have been spent on Unicorn Magic Coffee and all that stuff was now able to spend on my YouTube, which we literally just hit 100K very recently and super excited about it. So it's always like it sucks that we let that one go, but it was very much worth it to see where all the time and effort we spent, see how it worked out.
Yeah. Well, so you mentioned the inner circle. So we said at the beginning that, you know, your free stuff is more than adequate for people to use and see results. But just before we kind of let you go, can you talk a bit about what the inner circle is and why we join it?
Yeah, well, what I'll say is this, and I appreciate you bringing it up. I will say, do not buy anything from me until you look at my content first and if you enjoy my free content, because literally everything that you need is available for free on Instagram, YouTube, podcasts, everything. I created the inner circle because I started out by only doing one-on-one coaching, first in person, then online. And it's amazing. I love doing one-on-one coaching, but number one, it's inherently significantly more expensive. And also there's a limit to how many people I can work with and keep my quality of coaching high. And so I realized I could reach and help more people if I make something more more affordable for people, and there's no limit to how many people can use it. So I created a membership, which is essentially just every month you get new workouts, every month you get new nutrition guidelines, there's new recipes. But I think the most important part is the group community support, which is, I think, we were talking about earlier how many people lack positive reinforcement in their life, so much is just negative. And this happens in fitness all the time, where if you're trying to focus on your health, all of a sudden people in your life will be like, why are you at the gym so much? Why are you focusing on eating so well? Like, stop. And they almost try and bring you down. And it's not because they don't want you to, it's because they're insecure about themselves. They're insecure about them not doing it, so they'll try and bring you down for it. So the group community is, I think, the best part of it. And ironically, I have the least amount of involvement in that, in terms of it's mostly the members. They make it themselves. And that's why it's so great, is because you have a group of people from all over the world. We have members in India. We have members in Portugal. We have members in Russia. We have members in Norway. We have members all over America, everywhere. And everyone is so supportive and so encouraging. And that's really what I think the best part about it is, just having a community of people who will be there to support you and encourage you and motivate you.
That's my favorite part about it. I think there's so many ideas, and I've never.
She's always talking about posting.
Yeah, I was like, oh, someone said this, someone did this. And it's just, I've been in different kind of, you know, not like a membership group, but different groups, different following different hashtags, different people, and just the negative comments and stuff. Like, there was a lady posting her deadlift. I think it was her deadlift, and she's doing it in her bedroom. And some guy was like, I fucking love it that you're doing your deadlift in your bedroom. That's like the best thing I've ever seen. And I thought, that. You don't get that everywhere, and I just really like it that everyone
is
so good.
And it is remarkably affordable, yeah, too. I mean, I don't want you to put the price up, because, like I said, she's a member, so keep her in. But it is – we were kind of surprised,
yeah,
at the price of it. So we just wanted to get that plug in there for you. And also the other thing is that you quite often seem to do, like, a free month for people, don't you? So
all the time.
So yeah, people do something cool.
People, yeah, so listen to this, follow Jordan, do something cool, get a free month, and then pay the man.
And I think just on your content, I think last thing I just want to say, we're both in marketing and writers, and we just love the way, you know, you say stuff, and personally the Harry Potter stuff that you work in. It's magical. It's really engaging and just different, and makes you want to read more and do more.
Yeah, the relationship stuff was just a little ploy, basically, to get you on the call.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think, you know, like, we're conscious of your time. We're really, really grateful that you spared us this. So is there anything you want to mention while we've still got you? Anything to plug or tell people?
I'm very appreciative that you were so patient in the time it took to make this happen. I appreciate you having me on. You're both wonderful to speak to. And if I can ever do anything, please let me know. And if you're in New York City, please let me know. And we'll definitely either get a lift in, grab coffee, something.
Oh, and let us know if you do the London meetup, because I will be there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll be in Liverpool in September.
Okay.
We can come to Liverpool.
We can go to Liverpool.
Yeah, there's a big fitness seminar. I forget the name of it off the top of my head. There's like some fit expo in Liverpool. So I'll definitely be there then. If I'm there sooner, then I will absolutely let you know.
Cool. Fantastic. Awesome. Yeah, Thank you so much. Oh, and good luck with the carnivore diet.
God.
We won't put this part in, but I hope your poops get better.
So uncomfortable. I can't even begin to tell you.
I'm really pleased.
My butthole is burning right now.
I follow some fitness stuff on Twitter, and carnivore is getting so popular, and the people who are doing it, there seems to be the same, I'll say, emotional attachment as veganism, but
yes,
on the other side.
Absolutely.
And you know, this is the best thing ever. And I've always viewed it as a severe elimination diet. So I was really pleased, one, you did it, and two, you said the same thing. And I'm really interested to see how this plays out.
There's a lot. I've had issues with, like, IBS. So what we thought was IBS now, I think, is actually gluten intolerance, as I've cut out gluten a lot better. A while back, when we were trying to figure out what to do about it, he goes, a lot of people are just doing the carnivore diet, and it's eliminated all their stomach issues. And I was like, I'm going to try some other things first.
I mean, I said it with the caveat that you should introduce things back in. It just kind of allows them to... but yeah, I'm really interested to see how it goes.
Yes, and we love a good challenge.
Thank you both so much. I really, you're wonderful, and this was a wonderful experience. And I appreciate you both so much. If I can ever help with anything, please let me know.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, we're gonna come and knock on your door for jobs. We're gonna hang out with Rico and just be your marketing.
You just work with Gary. That's all this is.
Oh yeah, we can meet Gary. Yeah, it's all good.
We'll let you go. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
we'll
let you know when this goes out, and we'll start sharing it.
Yeah, I'll probably pop it in the inner circle as well. So people
yeah, definitely. Please put it in the inner circle. That would be great.
Okay, take care. Thank
Cheers,
you so
Jordan.
Much.
Bye.